I'm Duncan MacLeod, and this is the Tech Central podcast brought to you today by the good folks at iOCO, which, of course, is a subsidiary of the JSE-listed EOH Holdings. So I'm on a call now with Richard Vester, Executive Director and Head of Cloud at iOCO. Richard, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you, Duncan.
The subject of our discussion today is the brave new world of hyperscale computing. But Richard, let's start with the basics. What exactly is hyperscale computing?
So hyperscale is really the ability for organizations to be able to consume large amounts of compute, move the infrastructure and some of the applications, really to, I think, get the most out of the exponential world of where cloud is going. It really is the future of cloud as we know it.
Great. And why should companies be paying attention to it?
Well, I think if you look at the traditional old world, as you would probably know quite well, in the early 2000s, organizations were moving into data centers away from their data centers, and the hosters, it was almost the boom of the hosters. Consolidation happened, and then we started seeing, the birth of multi-tenanted platforms in the cloud. And I think where organizations need to look very seriously is especially in South Africa, is moving away from almost that box hugger, as I like to call it, which is very much, I know where my data is, I know it's sitting in a server, but start moving away from the traditional CapEx type models that organizations have been in the past, and really being able to focus on the application and scale from a platform perspective.
Right. Okay. So, Richard, you guys have surfaced some interesting research from Cisco, which suggests that data center or data traffic inside hyperscale data centers is going to quadruple by next year, and that these facilities will account for 55% of all data center traffic also by next year. In essence, what's happening is that IT is becoming a utility served by giant tech corporations from the cloud. Companies' on-premise data centers are emptying out. What does this mean for the broader IT landscape and for companies like iOCO? How do you play in this ecosystem?
So we partner very well with the hyperscale, provided like AWS as an example.
Right.
And that's really the only way that we're going to be able to take our expertise and continue to provide that to corporate South Africa or the enterprise market. You can't, as a cloud provider, go out and try and build exponential infrastructure to support massive amounts of organizations. You need to partner with, as I said, the likes of AWS and others. And through that, I think, you don't have to worry about the infrastructure. You can focus on bringing your expertise, whether it be in the application modernization space or in the big data space. And that's really where we're focusing our efforts.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I've spoken to some local IT companies who fret that the global giants are simply going to muscle them out of the industry as companies increasingly look to the cloud and to these hyperscale providers. Is that a genuine concern?
Duncan, I don't think so. We are one of those traditional cloud players. We've provided hosted cloud platforms and private cloud infrastructure for organizations for many, many years. I believe that very much in the enterprise space and probably with a lot of the corporates, we'll find a multi-cloud scenario. Some people refer to it as hybrid cloud, where some applications will be best suited to run in a hyperscale platform like AWS. And other applications will make sense to rather run in more of a private cloud capability.
Yeah.
Organizations like VMware are doing some great modernization in terms of their software. So being able to run VMware in AWS as well as still use it in your traditional data center kind of extends that capability between, or makes the hybrid cloud a reality for many organizations. So I don't think the traditional data center is going to go away, not in the very near future, that's for sure.
Right. But I do imagine that local IT providers, companies like iOCO, there are lots of companies in the space that have been around for decades servicing the local IT market needs. But it really is quite a major shift in thinking, their go-to-market strategies, starting to work with these global hyperscale providers. But can you maybe just take us through how Ioco has changed its strategy over the years, and particularly with the arrival now of global data centers in South Africa, like the AWS facility, which has just been launched in Cape Town? Maybe take us through how you've changed your go-to-market strategy and how you deal with clients.
So we've been playing in the space for about 8 years. When I started this let's call it a competency area as a business for EOH, just over 8 years ago. Over the last 3 years, though, we've been focusing heavily on adapting and increasing our skill sets in the hyperscale, specifically around AWS. Mm-hmm. So as a strategy, the two worlds come together really where we've focused on our cloud management platform. So the CMP environment is where we are able to manage customers' workloads on their platforms or on the hosted cloud, and then extend that into the AWS platform. So giving that kind of almost a single pane of glass between the two different environments. So as a strategy, it was really, we need to increase our skill. We've done that over the last 3 years, certified in different areas. Most definitely, the big up for Ioco is that we don't just play in the infrastructure space. Right. We've got a lot of skill in the data space. We've got a lot of skill in the app modernization space, app dev, open digital. So pulling all of those together, it allows you to play a bit further up the stack and really provide next-gen, you know, managed services to customers. That's really where the drive has been from a strategy perspective.
Mm. So, Richard, what are some of the benefits of being a next generation managed service provider with a hyperscaler like AWS, for example?
So, Duncan, very much the evolution of a managed service provider, when you're looking at the hyperscale platforms like AWS, your first step or starting point is very much around design, architect, and automate for the customer. So you're moving away from traditional long-term meetings, looking at different items that need to be changed on an ongoing basis. A lot of the applications and the infrastructure is all automated. Mm-hmm. You're auto-scaling the demand on applications that may happen at the end of the month. These are things that you don't necessarily need to actually worry about. Things like self-healing, infrastructure as code. So there are so many benefits to providing managed services in the hyperscale. I think organizations can really start enjoying the fact that their solution and SLAs is going to be around the software and not really around an infrastructure anymore.
I liked your term that you used a bit earlier, box huggers. We often hear the term box droppers in this industry, but I think it's the first time I've come across the term box huggers, of course referring to people perhaps a little reluctant to embrace cloud computing and hyperscale computing. What are some of the trends you're seeing? South African organizations have generally been seen to be perhaps a little more reluctant than some of their counterparts in other markets to move to hyperscale cloud computing resources. But we've seen the launch, of course, of the AWS data center and data centers from other giant cloud providers in the last year or so. What will the arrival of these data centers do to the local market? Do you think there's going to be a big shift in thinking? Do you think there's going to be a massive acceleration now in corporate South Africa embracing hyperscale?
I think there will be a lot more awareness that's going to be created as a result of AWS launching their region in South Africa. Cloud as a word gets bandied around very loosely amongst many, many organizations. And I think what AWS brings to the local market is a lot more clarity around how one will consume applications in the future. And very much in the tooling space as well. So it's bringing different opportunities for you to understand your growth of your data, how you can rationalize what you're doing inside your own corporate environment. So I think that's really good. Mm-hmm. Again, as I said, I don't believe that the old world of buying infrastructure and moving away from into a hyperscale like AWS is just going to happen overnight. I think it's going to be a hybrid culture with many organizations. And I use the term box hugger because I remember in my old days, having been in the service provider space now for over 20 years, people in IT enjoy buying hardware. They enjoy the traditional go and, you know, plug in the Ethernet cable and go and do what they need to do in terms of swapping out storage arrays and those types of things. I think the reality is, as we go forward, the automation is going to push and change a lot of that. You know, you can switch your phone off at night and not have to worry about the fact that your application is not able to handle the month-end scale and volume that's hitting that application because of auto-scaling, as an example. So there's so many benefits to it. That's very much where they are.
So in some respects, it's a cultural shift more than a technology shift.
I think it is. I think it is. To a large degree, it is. But we'll see. You know, time will tell. I don't think having big hyperscalers like AWS in the market is going to change how many organizations play in the cloud space. It will over time, but it's not going to happen overnight.
Right, right. Let's pretend for a moment. I'm very much not that person, but let's pretend for a moment that I'm a CIO, and I'm under pressure from my CFO and my CEO to cut costs, especially now during the COVID-19 pandemic. Should I be accelerating my cloud efforts now, particularly given what's going on in the world? And what questions should I be asking before I embark on a project like this? And the reason I'm asking this is, I'm guessing this isn't something you rush into without developing a proper strategy first.
100%. So you need to, you most definitely need to look at the architectural design around how your applications function. Not everything works exceptionally well in a hyperscale platform. And that's mainly just because you may well have legacy applications that are not going to work in the hyperscale platform. As a CIO, I think the first thing to understand is look at your own infrastructure or look at where your applications are running and see if you have the right tooling to allow you to get better visibility on what those applications are doing. And we've seen it when the president made the announcement around the lockdown.
Yeah.
What we did initially was we went and looked at every single customer's environment that we run on the IOCO cloud platforms. And we looked to go and see whether we could rationalize some of that spend with the customers and work with them with the different tooling that we had. You find very often the old way of IT is, well, I'm just going to back up everything rather than actually going and backing up the required information that you need. Well, I'm going to just replicate all my information. So those are the things that I think CIOs need to look at. And then it's to understand their landscape inside their organization, working with the likes of an IOCO, where we've certified as a well-architected partner of AWS, and we understand how the AWS infrastructure and platforms work, and we can map that back into the application. But it's definitely a journey. It's not something that can happen overnight.
Yeah. But just on COVID-19 and the lockdown, et cetera, and all the work from home that's happening at the moment, do you see this pandemic fundamentally shifting the market at all, perhaps accelerating the shift to the hyperscalers?
I think it yes and no. Mm-hmm. And I say yes and no for a few reasons. Firstly, if you look at how we provide remote access to organizations today, I think a lot of organizations that are sitting on the IOCO platforms, they ticked all the boxes. So as soon as there was a situation where they had to go into a remote state, they were able to still continue to work, and we were able to keep the lights on. I think the other thing is, being an agile organization like the cloud world is in IOCO, we don't have a centralized operations environment. So having distributed operations capability allows us to manage customers' environments wherever we are. On the other side, though, there's some great features in terms of end user computing in AWS. So, you know, it's not to say that one wouldn't rush off into the world of AWS, but again, you need to understand how your application functions in the hyperscale platform.
Yeah. All right. Richard, before I let you go, maybe tell us a little bit about your working relationship with AWS. Obviously, the data center is launched in South Africa now. How long have you been working with Amazon Web Services? How do you bring the company's products to market? How do you work with the company? And what does IOCO offer on AWS?
So we've been working with them for 3 years. We've got a really good relationship with them, mainly because we're not just a provider of AWS services in South Africa. We're actually a global provider. So we deliver AWS services in Europe as well as the UK and as well as into South Africa.
Right.
So working with all the different areas has been fantastic. From a competency perspective, we're going down the road. And when you work with AWS, you need to make sure that you tick in the boxes on the competencies. We've done that around the Microsoft workload capability in AWS, looking at end-user computing competency that we've ticked the box there, as well as I said before, the well-architected provider, which is going in and helping organizations optimize what they've done in AWS. And then number one is understanding the security, because often organizations go and may consume AWS services, but because they don't understand how to architect their landing zones properly or how they should be running the applications, security becomes a bit of a problem. And that's one of the big areas that we focus on with AWS. So in terms of relationships, really good. I think we've proven to AWS our appetite to invest time and effort into certifications. You should be spending probably 30 to 40% of your time certifying on the new certs that come out from AWS on ongoing basis, and we do that. And in turn, they look to partner with good organizations like ourselves in whatever region that we may expand. So it has been very good, and we look forward to a long-term relationship with AWS.
Good stuff. Richard Vester is Executive Director and Head of Cloud at IOCO. Thanks so much for talking to Tech Central today.
Thanks very much, Duncan.